The knife flashes in Tessa's hand as she lunges toward me, her face contorted with rage. "That property was meant for me," she screams, slicing open my arm while standing over me in my own home, all because my parents left their cabin to me instead of her. "Sign it over now, or I swear you'll regret it." Hi, I'm Jared. Today I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. Looking back, it's hard to believe how quickly my life changed after my parents passed away. They were everything to me. Supportive, loving, and the best role models anyone could ask for. When they died in that car accident last year, it felt like the ground had disappeared beneath my feet. The reading of their will brought the first surprise. They'd left their lakeside cabin to me. It wasn't extravagant, just a cozy three-bedroom place by Pine Lake, where we'd spent summers fishing and winters by the fireplace. But it held countless memories. "Your parents always said you appreciated that place more than anyone," Mr. Winters, their attorney, had told me. "They wanted you to have it." My brother Liam seemed fine with the arrangement. "Makes sense. You always were the sentimental one." Our relationship had been strained since he moved across the country 5 years ago, barely visiting even when Mom got sick. But grief has a way of bringing people together, and for a while, we were talking regularly again. Then Tessa entered the picture. Liam brought her to the memorial service, tall, blonde, and surprisingly attentive. She hugged me like we were old friends. "I feel like I know you already," Tessa had said, squeezing my arm. "Liam's told me so much about you and your wonderful parents. I wish I could have met them." At first, I was grateful. Tessa seemed genuinely interested in hearing stories about Mom and Dad. She asked to see family photos and even helped me sort through some of their belongings when Liam and she visited my place. "These cufflinks are beautiful," Tessa had remarked, holding up Dad's silver set. "Such craftsmanship. They don't make things like this anymore." I'd nodded, remembering Dad wearing them at my college graduation. They were his favorites. Things changed gradually. First, it was small comments about the cabin. "It's such a shame your parents didn't get to enjoy retirement there," Tessa had said during dinner one night. "Liam says they talked about fixing it up." Then I noticed items missing after their visits. My mother's recipe book disappeared from my kitchen shelf. When I mentioned it to Liam, he seemed uncomfortable. "Maybe you misplaced it. Tessa's really organized. She wouldn't take something without asking." But the final straw came when I returned home after a business trip to find my apartment had been visited. Nothing seemed obviously missing until I checked the cedar chest where I kept my parents' most precious keepsakes. Mom's handwritten letters to Dad during his military service, gone. The pocket watch that had belonged to my grandfather, vanished. Only Liam and Tessa had my spare key. That night, as I stared at the empty spaces in the chest, I realized this was just the beginning of my troubles. The next morning, I called Liam about the missing keepsakes. When he put me on speaker, I could hear Tessa in the background. "Are you sure they were even there?" Liam asked. "You've been moving things around since the funeral." "I know exactly what was in that chest," I replied firmly. "Mom's letters and Grandpa's watch are gone." Tessa's voice cut in. "Maybe you should check with your friend Olivia. Didn't she help you organize last month?" I felt my blood pressure rising. "Olivia never had access to the chest, and you know it." The conversation ended with nothing resolved, but the seed of suspicion had firmly taken root. Something wasn't right. 2 weeks later, Liam and Tessa invited me to dinner at their place. The conversation inevitably turned to the cabin. "We should all go up there for the 4th of July. I've been telling my friends how perfect it would be for a weekend getaway." "It needs some work first," I replied cautiously. "The dock isn't safe after the winter storms." Tessa smiled. "We could help fix it up. After all, family property should benefit everyone, right?" The way she emphasized family property made me uncomfortable. Liam just nodded along, seemingly oblivious to the undercurrent. What I didn't know then was that Tessa had already been using the cabin. I found out a month later when my neighbor at Pine Lake, Mr. Henderson, called me. "Thought you should know there's been people at your place," he said. "Young woman with some friends. Said she was family. I drove up the next day to find cigarette burns on the porch furniture, empty bottles scattered around, and Mom's antique fishing gear missing from the shed. The final straw was discovering someone had tried to pry open the locked closet where Dad kept his valuable tools. When I confronted them, Tessa acted surprised. "We just wanted to make sure the place was okay after those storms," she said sweetly. "My friends helped clean up a bit." "Then where's Mom's fishing gear?" I demanded. Liam stepped between us. "Come on, Jared, it's just stuff. You're acting paranoid." That night, I overheard them talking on the porch. "Your brother's so possessive," Tessa whispered. "Your parents would have wanted us to enjoy the cabin, too. Remember how your mom said she wished we'd visit more?" "I know," Liam sighed. "He's always been Dad's favorite." Their words stung. Our parents had never played favorites. The situation reached a breaking point at a family dinner weeks later. Uncle Phil mentioned how nice it was that I was keeping the cabin in the family. Tessa put down her fork loudly. "Actually, we've been meaning to talk about that. Liam and I think the cabin should be shared ownership. His parents promised." "They never said anything like that," I argued, shocked. "Your mother told me herself when I helped during her chemo," Tessa insisted, tears forming. "She said Liam deserved half for all the emotional support he provided from afar." Uncle Phil looked uncomfortable as Liam put his arm around Tessa. "You've always had everything handed to you, Jared," Liam muttered. I left early, my appetite gone. The next morning, my doorbell rang. Tessa stood there, alone. Tessa pushed past me into my apartment without waiting for an invitation. Her usually perfect makeup couldn't hide the dark circles under her eyes. "We need to settle this property situation," she announced, dropping her purse on my coffee table. "I'm tired of you making Liam feel guilty about what's rightfully his." "Tessa, the cabin belongs to me. It's in the will, legally signed and witnessed." "Wills can be changed. Your mother promised us that cabin would be shared. She told me specifically that the property was meant for me and Liam." This was new. "You weren't even there when Mom died," I said quietly. "You and Liam were in Bermuda, remember?" Her eyes narrowed. "I was the one who helped her through treatments while you were busy with work. She promised me that lakefront property as thanks." The absurdity of her claim stunned me. I'd taken a leave of absence to care for Mom, sleeping on a hospital cot for weeks. "Your parents meant for me to have that property," Tessa insisted, her voice rising. "They wanted someone who would appreciate it, not just keep it as some shrine." "Tessa, this has gone too far. You've taken my parents' belongings, used their property without permission, and now you're lying about their final wishes." She pulled papers from her purse, slamming them on the coffee table. "Sign these. They transfer half ownership of the cabin to Liam. Your parents meant for him to have it." "The property isn't for sale or transfer," I stated firmly. "And I think you should leave." Her face transformed with rage. "You selfish, entitled brat. That property was meant for me. Your parents would be ashamed." Before I could react, she was coming at me with one of my kitchen knives she must have grabbed earlier. "Sign the property over," she screamed, swinging wildly. "That cabin was meant for me and Liam. Your parents promised me." I raised my arm to protect myself and felt a sharp pain as the blade sliced through my forearm. Backing away, I tripped over the coffee table and fell. Tessa stood over me, knife raised. "You think I'm playing games?" she hissed. "Sign the papers I brought, or I swear I'll take what your parents meant for me by force." A loud pounding on my door interrupted her. "Jared, everything okay in there?" It was Olivia from next door. "I heard crashing." Tessa froze, suddenly aware of what she was doing. She dropped the knife and leaned close to my face. "This isn't over," she whispered. "That property was meant for me, and I'll get it one way or another. Tell anyone about this, and I'll make sure Liam never speaks to you again." She straightened her clothes, plastered on a smile, and opened the door. "Everything's fine," she told a concerned Olivia. "Just a little family disagreement about property. Jared's clumsy and knocked over a lamp." After Tessa left, Olivia helped me bandage my arm. "That didn't sound like a knocked over lamp," she said grimly, and that woman's smile gave me chills. That night, my phone exploded with messages from family members. Apparently, Tessa had told everyone I'd refused to give her the property my parents meant for her, and she became violent when confronted. The lies were spreading, and Liam wasn't taking my calls. As I scrolled through the accusatory messages, I discovered something even more disturbing. Someone had been in my parents' email accounts, looking for any mention of property promises. For weeks I kept to myself, nursing both my physical wound and the emotional ones inflicted by Tessa's lies. Liam hadn't returned any of my calls. Family friends chose sides, many believing Tessa's fabricated version of events. I focused on healing and preserving what remained of my parents' legacy. The lakeside cabin became my sanctuary, far from the drama Tessa had created. Meanwhile, Tessa's web of lies began unraveling on its own. It started with small inconsistencies people noticed in her stories. The timeline of when she'd supposedly helped my mother during chemo didn't match reality. The promises my parents allegedly made varied depending on who she was talking to. My cousin Alicia called me one evening. "Tessa cornered me at the supermarket," she said. "She wanted me to sign some statement about your parents' intentions for the cabin. When I reminded her I was present when your mom explicitly told the family attorney the cabin should go to you, she got angry and accused me of taking sides." Curiosity spread through our extended family circle. Uncle Phil hosted his annual autumn barbecue, and despite my hesitation, I decided to attend. When I arrived with Olivia as my support, Tessa's face paled. Tessa began her usual performance. "Your parents wanted us to have that cabin. Jared has always been selfish." Olivia cleared her throat. "Funny, that's not how Jared's mother described him to me the week before she passed. She specifically mentioned how grateful she was that Jared would look after their special place." Uncle Phil nodded. "I remember Martha saying the same. In fact, didn't she and Richard add that codicil to their will, specifically mentioning the cabin going to Jared?" Tessa's face reddened. "Well, they were manipulated, and Jared attacked me when I confronted him. He's dangerous." "That's interesting," Olivia said calmly, "because I was there that day. I heard you screaming threats and saw Jared's arm bleeding from where you cut him with a knife." "Is that true?" he asked Tessa. "Did you attack my brother?" "Of course not. They're all lying." "You believe me, don't you?" But doubt had finally crept into Liam's eyes. "I found Mom's recipe book in your desk drawer," he said quietly, "and Grandpa's watch hidden in your jewelry box." The dinner ended abruptly. Within days, Liam called to apologize. He'd discovered more stolen mementos and evidence of Tessa's manipulation. She was gone from his life by the end of the week. Without my having to do anything, Tessa found herself unwelcome in the community that had embraced her only months before. Her reputation was destroyed by her own actions, and she eventually moved away. As the sun set over Pine Lake, I realized the most valuable inheritance wasn't the cabin at all, but the truth that had survived despite everything.